verses there tonight, verse 13, verse 14, Verse 14 will be the verse that we'll try to read together tonight. Matthew 16, verse 13, verse 14. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Read this verse together. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Thank you. Be seated. Our Father, we come to you this evening, and we do thank you, Lord, to be physically able to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We thank you, Lord, for these who have come out this evening, and we know it shouldn't be that way, but, Lord, the weather sometimes is a great deterrent to some people of getting out and getting out to the house of the Lord. But, Lord, we thank you for these that did get out tonight, and we ask that, Lord, that you'd have something for them, because if they went to the trouble to get ready and to get out and to try to come, for some was great difficulty. I know they come because they need something, they want something, and I pray that, Lord, that you'll let me be the vehicle, Lord, that you might pass some bread, Lord, through to them, some food for their soul. Lord, I pray. And Lord, we ask you to take these few thoughts, and Lord, we just commend them to you and ask the Lord to bless them and to make them enough tonight that they'd feed every hungry soul this evening.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, touch our hearts. We need the Lord to help us tonight. We do pray, it's already been prayed, a couple of prayers. We pray for the lost. And Lord, I ask you to be with all the sick, those that are discouraged, disheartened, depressed. Lord, I ask you to be with all them, Lord, this evening. May they be uplifted, those that are here, those that are not here tonight. The Lord would just be with them, help them, bless those that are going to be joining church tonight, Lord. And help them, I pray. And trust, Lord, you've led them in their decisions, and Lord, and it's the right thing. So we ask the Lord to bless you. Bless them in it, Lord, I pray. Forgive me of my sins, failures, shortcomings, and it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Do you ever wonder what Jesus was really like? And, you know, we preach about him. Of course, our Sunday school lessons, everything's geared to learning about the Lord. But, of course, none of us have actually met the Lord physically. We wasn't here when the Lord was here. We've met him spiritually. If we're saved, we've met the Lord spiritually. But you kind of get in your mind, you know, and you wonder, what was Jesus really like? And if we had been living when he was here, and what would it have been like? Well, we don't have time to, you know, look at all the things that would concern tonight. We do know the Bible tells us, and we have the Bible in Isaiah. You know, we have passages in the Bible. And Isaiah said in the 9th chapter and 7th verse, he said, "Oh, he's wonderful." He said he was wonderful. I don't doubt that. I believe it'd be wonderful to know the Lord physically, you know. And it is wonderful to know him spiritually. But I think it would have been wonderful to know the Lord and get to actually see the Lord. And one day we will if we're saved. The Bible says we'll see him. And Job said, he said, "Though the skin worms devour my body," he said, "yet I know there's coming a day when in my flesh I'll see God."
Amen.
And of course we know the Lord Jesus, he's God's son, but he's also God. And then Solomon told us over there in his book, Song of Solomon, he tells us, he said, well, he's just altogether lovely. Just altogether lovely. Now, we know he wasn't physically attractive, because Isaiah also tells us that he had no form or comeliness, that when we saw him, we would desire him. If you saw him, you wouldn't desire him because he was such a handsome man or anything like that. He really did not have any physical attraction. According to the Bible, he looked so much like all the other Jews of his day that Judas had to go down and kiss him so they'd know which one he was. So he had no physical attraction as such. But I think he's talking about his whole demeanor, his character, his makeup, that his personality, that he was just altogether lovely. And then Jesus himself said in John 14, he said, well, I'm like the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Father, God, he said, I'm just like him is what I'm like. Well, we understand that. But Jesus was interested himself in what people thought about him. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't care what people think about me. Well, Jesus wasn't that way. The Bible said that he wanted to know. He asked them, said, what are they saying about me out there? Asked his disciples, said, y'all been out and around and about, and what are they saying about me out there? He asked that question. I'm glad he did, because the answer they give is, it gives us some indication as to what Jesus was like in some areas. You say, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said, who do they say I, the Son of Man, who am I? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so I believe tonight that the Lord gives us a little indication here of what he was really like. You say, what do you mean? Well, they said he was like John the Baptist. You know, he is so much like John the Baptist that Herod actually thought that after he'd cut John's head off and he heard that Jesus was out preaching, he actually thought that John had risen from the dead. He was nervous about it. And they said, somebody out there preaching sounds like John the Baptist when he'd preach, and he's preaching like John. And so he was a whole lot like John the Baptist. Now, I have to consider also tonight, you know, that in some ways he wasn't like John the Baptist. For instance, in his actions, John the Baptist was a baptizer. John the Baptist, he went around baptizing all that come to him for baptism. John said of Jesus, I baptize with water. But he said, there's one coming, one after me, and said, he's not going to baptize you with water. Right. And then, you know, the Bible tells us a lot of people don't know this. It'd mess their doctrine up, I guess, if they did. But John 4:2 says that Jesus, he didn't baptize anybody.
Amen. Yep.
He never baptized anybody. John was the baptizer. And, of course, he literally baptized people down in the Jordan there in literal water. But Jesus never did baptize nobody in water. Now he baptizes everybody with the Spirit of God.
Right.
That's what John said. He said, I'm going to baptize with water, but there's coming one after me that's going to baptize in another way. So I know that Jesus was not like John in his actions. He didn't go around baptizing everybody. And then he wasn't like John in his appearance either. Because the Bible said John that he wore this raiment made of camel's hair. And he is kind of a woolly, wild-looking person coming out of the wilderness. And he wore this raiment made of camel's hair. Somebody said John would walk a mile for a camel. It's a suit of clothes for him. But John, he was rough-looking. And you know, camel hair, that'd be a rare thing to wear. You know, and that's why it stood out so much. But Jesus, he didn't wear no raiment made of camel's hair. He just wore the regular stuff of the day. Amen. Now, I know some independent Baptist preachers wouldn't like what he wore because it looked kind of like a dress. They'd say, he's got on women's apparel. Well, I wouldn't know women wear what he had on. Wouldn't know women wear what he had on. So that's a good little thought there to, you know, just think about it, meditate on it. But Jesus wore the stuff that all the other rabbis, people like that wore. That's what Jesus wore. And then he wouldn't like John in his appetite. The Bible said John that he eat locusts and wild honey. Now Jack went over there to Israel and he told me when he got back, he said that there was a tree over there that bore some kind of a fruit and they called it locust. Is that right? And he said, they said over there, they said that's what it meant when they said John that he eat locusts and wild honey. Well, I don't know. I've always heard it preached, you know, like the locusts we see, that he'd eat them. And some very smart people say that's what it means. So I don't know. Ask John when you get there if it was something off a tree. Both of them's off a tree. You've seen them locusts dried up on a tree certain times of the year, and they do look crispy. We went We went, took the kids up one time, and Nathan, some of them bought some chocolate-covered grasshoppers or crickets. And I don't know, the rest of them, they eat. And Nathan and I eat two or three boxes of them. They kept trying to get me to eat them, and I said, I ain't eating no bug. But John, he had a diet of locusts and wild honey, but now Jesus, he didn't eat that. Jesus, he ate bread and fish and things like that. And so he wouldn't like John in his appetite. So if he wouldn't like John in his appetite, and he wouldn't like John in his appearance, and he wouldn't like John in his actions, how was he like John? Well, it had to be in his preaching.
Yeah, man.
It had to be in his preaching. Because when Herod heard him down there preaching, he said, "Oh no, John's rose from the dead." People, you know, they wonder how that Jesus preached when he was here. And a lot of people would like to make you think that he was just a little soft-spoken, limp-wristed type preacher that never did offend nobody. They must not have never read any of his sermons. I know he offended some people. He offended them because he told them the truth and the way it was. Amen. But when John came, you know what John preached when he came? The Bible said John came preaching and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's in Matthew 3 and that's in verse 2. Well, over in chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry, and in the 17th verse, you know what his sermon is? "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so Jesus was preaching that people ought to repent, just like John was preaching that people ought to repent. Amen?
Amen.
And I still believe people ought to repent.
Amen.
I really do.
Yep.
And I know it's closely aligned, and believing and repentance, they're real close, Brother Eddie. It's hard to put a finger on it. But I believe there is a difference, and I tell you why I do. The Bible said there's devils over in James. The Bible said there's devils that believe.
Yes.
That believe.
Yes.
But I've never known a devil to repent.
Right. Amen.
Have you? I've never known one to repent. But the Bible said they believe and they tremble.
Right.
But they never have repented. And then there's another place over in Acts that's interesting. And it's not preached on a lot. You may not remember it, but it's in Acts 8. And there's a man down there by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. And Simon's down there, and a big revival breaks out. People are getting full of the Lord. A lot of things are going on. And old Simon, look there at it in chapter 8, verse 13, if you're interested enough. And old Simon, the Bible said, "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized," he believed so much he got baptized. Said he believed and was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But then you drop on down there in verse 18, and said old Simon, he saw what was going on, laying the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." And Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God," you know what the gift of God is, don't you? "Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." What's verse 22 say?
Repent.
He's already believed, but things still wasn't right. And so Jesus came, and Jesus preached repentance, that men and women and boys and girls, they need to repent. You say, what is repentance? I'll tell you what it ain't. Repentance is not coming up here and getting down and you've been a drunk or you're living in immorality. Repentance is not coming up here and asking the Lord to forgive you and then going back right into the same situation. That's not repentance, you see. Repentance is a change, a change. That old thief on the cross I preached about this morning, you say, what changed about him? What he was thinking about the Lord.
Right.
He did say, he did cast the same thing in his teeth that the other one did, but after he got in under conviction and he repented, and then he said, he is the Christ. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom."
Amen.
And so Jesus went and he preached repentance, that men ought to repent. We don't hear much of that today because we're living in this kind of a society where everybody wants to believe but make no changes in their lifestyle. They want to believe and be able to say, I'm going to heaven, but they don't want to give up their sins and quit their sins. But Jesus, when he preached repentance. You preach whatever you want to preach. If you're a preacher, you preach who you want to preach after. If you're a preacher, I just believe I'll stick with what Jesus preached. And he preached that men ought to repent. And he preached that because he was like John in that. Amen. And now I'll tell you something else. You know what John preached? John preached in a real hell.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, they were coming down there to him, and John's preaching. He said, bring forth fruits fit for repentance. He said, because the axe is already laid to the root of the tree. And he said, every tree that don't bring forth good fruit is cast into the fire. John preached to hell. He believed in it, and he believed there was one, and he was trying to get men to repent so they wouldn't have to go there. Well, Jesus comes along, and did you know Jesus preaches more about hell than John does?
Amen.
I've shown, if you're a regular person here, I've preached a sermon where I showed you that every 2 to 3 chapters that Jesus, through the Gospels, he makes a reference to hell, and he's preaching about hell.
Amen.
He preached the clearest, plainest sermon on hell that there is in the whole Bible.
Right.
In Luke 16, verse 19.
Right.
He gave us that message there about the rich man and about Lazarus and how the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell and Lazarus died and he went to Abraham's bosom and he tells us how that man's down there in torment. He's begging for a little water. He's praying for somebody to go to his father's house and witness to his brothers. And I mean, Jesus, boy, he lays it out there. And there's no way that you can be a Bible believer and read what Jesus preached there about hell and not believe that there was one.
Yeah. Amen.
By the way, it was Jesus that preached that sermon. And he said, if you're right, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And he said, whatever it is that's keeping you from going to heaven, repenting, getting right with God, whatever it is that's going to send you to hell, he said you'd be better off without it.
Amen.
Than to go to that place. Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And then Jesus, you know, like John, he preached what was right. Amen.
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 It wouldn't public opinion.
Right.
He preached what was right. You say, how right did he preach? Oh, pretty right. He went down in Matthew 14. He went down there to Herod. And in verse 1 it said, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, see? He has risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid a hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it's not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. And when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she being before instructed of her mother, what a mother, said, give me here John the Baptist, head in a charter. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, being the wimp that he was, that's what it says in the Greek, for the oath's sake, and for them which sit with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent beheaded John the Baptist. Now, brother, that's right preaching. When you go down, Herod's the main leader. And when you go down to where Herod's at, and you put your finger in his face, and you say, it's not right for you to be living with your brother's wife, And he's saying, and more or less, he's saying, you're living in adultery. And he lays it out there just right the way it is. That's the way Jesus preached. He preached what was right.
Amen.
Not necessarily what people wanted to hear. Not necessarily what was popular in that day.
Amen.
Not necessarily what the latest poll come out and said.
Amen.
I was telling somebody this evening after prayer. I started home last night. And I had my radio on, Christian station radio on, and they were telling about, they said they'd done a poll back a couple of years ago, three or four years ago, and a large percentage of the United States, of the people they polled, they thought it was wrong for a person to be homosexual or lesbian or men to live with men, women to live with women. They thought it was wrong, but they said a recent poll, it had risen now to about 50 to 60% said they didn't agree with the lifestyle, but they didn't really think there's anything wrong with it. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. They'll never have a poll that's 100% on that. You say, why? Because there's going to be at least one that's just going to keep saying it's wrong. It's not right. The Bible says it's abomination of the sight of God. That's the way Jesus preached. He just preached what the Bible says. You don't have to be ashamed to stand for what the Bible says.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's absolute truth. That's what God says.
Amen.
I know it ain't politically correct, but ain't none of us running for no offices,
right,
are we?
Amen.
Amen. We're just saved children of God, trying to live for the Lord, and trying to do what's right. And I'll tell you, Jesus come along. Now, John was a straight preacher and hard preacher, but Jesus come along, he preached it straighter than John did.
Amen.
You say, why? Because John said, Herod, it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife and preach to him about adultery. But then Jesus comes along, and Jesus said, it's written, and he tells what's written about it. And then he says, I'll tell you what I say. He said, I say, if you even look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart.
Amen.
Jesus came by and he preached it even stronger.
Amen.
Even stronger.
Good preaching, Brother Rick.
And here you preach that verse, the women always thinks directed toward us, but y'all got eyes too.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I don't pay no attention about stuff like that. All right. Yeah. We understand. But he was like John the Baptist in his preaching.
Amen.
In his preaching. But then they said, some said he's like Elijah. Now, he's like John in his preaching. If you want to know what kind of preacher Jesus was, we'll read John's preaching. That's how Jesus preached. He wasn't like the world and Hollywood and the movies and all these things make you think he was. No, sir. He was just kind of hellfire brimstone type preacher. And just laid it out there straight, 52 cards up. That's the way it is. Just like that. But then Elijah, some said he's like Elijah. Well, how's he like Elijah? Well, I know he's not like Elijah in some ways. Because when you turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19 and you read over there about Elijah, and of course we realize that chapter 19 comes after two great chapters in the life of Elijah, chapter 18 and chapter 17. But I want to first see, they said Jesus is like Elijah. Well, I want to look at how he wasn't like Elijah. He wasn't like Elijah and what scared him. Look in verse 2, chapter 19. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And the Bible said, then he arose. You see, Elijah got scared about a woman named Jezebel. And Jezebel was such a wicked woman that even over in the New Testament revelations, when there's a woman in the church going around and just really doing some terrible things, the Lord calls her there in chapter 2, he calls her Jezebel. Said, I suffered that prophetess woman preacher, said, I suffered her, that Jezebel, and he tells all about what he done to her there and all that. But Elijah, he got scared because a woman said, I'm going to get you. Isn't that something? I mean, he wasn't scared of all those prophets, Brother Nathan. He stood up, 850 prophets of Baal.
That's right.
400 of the grove, 450 of the other. 850 altogether went up there. He's all alone by himself, and he's outnumbered 850 to one, but he's not scared. But he's scared of a woman.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, I know some men.
Bless him, Lord.
They'd fight a circle saw. They ain't scared of any man that's ever put on a pair of boots or pants. But you let the woman come around. They're scared to death. Well, Jesus, he wasn't scared of women, and he wasn't scared of men either. Elijah was very courageous, but Jesus was more courageous than even Elijah was. And I'll tell you something else. He was not like Elijah in what Elijah tried to save. You say what he tried to save, his own skin.
Amen.
The Bible said he ran for his life.
Amen.
He ran because he was feared for his life. Jesus didn't run.
Yes. Right. Yep.
They come to arrest him, and he didn't take off running. He said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I'm him. I'm him." The Bible said when he spoke, they all fell backwards.
Right.
Power in what he said.
Yeah, man.
But the Bible said he laid down his life. He didn't run. He gave his life. He came to die. And of course, that's what he did. He came to die. But he wasn't trying to save his life. He was trying to give his life to save us, to save others. Amen. And then Elijah, remember what happened? Elijah went down there under the juniper tree and he laid down and he went to sleep. Bad time to go to sleep. He needed to be up and doing what God wanted him to do, but he went to sleep. Jesus wouldn't like Elijah in that. You remember when they went in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray? Peter, James, and John, all them, what'd they do? They all went to sleep, but Jesus, he prayed right on through the victory. Amen.
Amen.
So I know that Jesus was not like Elijah in what scared him. I know he wasn't like Elijah in what he tried to save. I know he wasn't like Elijah in going to sleep and failing to do what he needed to do. So how was he like Elijah? Why did they say, some say Elijah? Well, he was like John, Brother Eddie, in his preaching, but I believe he was like Elijah in his praying.
Amen.
Amen. They knew Elijah to be a man of prayer.
Amen.
The Bible has a lot to say about it. And there's a whole section over in James chapter 5 about this man Elijah and how he prayed. And you know, the Bible says over there, it said that Elijah was a man of like passion.
Like us,
he was a man of like passion. Now, Jesus is touched by the feelings of our infirmities.
Yep. Man.
But he didn't have the weakness like Elijah had, and like you and I have, that sometimes it just gets the best of us, you know, and we just can't go on. Well, Jesus wasn't like that. He went all the way.
Amen.
I always liked that passage in the Bible. It always just spoke volumes to me where it just said, "And Jesus went a little farther."
Amen.
Because he always does, doesn't he?
Amen.
No matter how far that men go, Jesus always goes a little farther. James, he wrote over there about Elijah. He said he was a man of like passion, like we are. And he said he prayed and it didn't rain for the space of, 3.5 years. And he said he prayed again and it rained. So we know that Elijah was a man of prayer. Well, no matter how good a preacher John was, we know that Jesus was a better preacher than John. Because here they didn't say this about John, but they said it about Jesus. They said no man ever spake like he did.
Amen.
So he's the greatest preacher to ever live.
That's right.
And Elijah was a great man of prayer. We have scriptures to back that up of how this man could pray and get a hold of God. But we know that Jesus was the best prayer.
Amen.
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 His disciples caught him praying one day, it looks like in Luke 11:1. And they came to him, and when he got done praying, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray like that. We want to be able to pray like you pray, Lord." He was a man of prayer.
Amen.
I believe he's like Elijah in his praying. You say, how did Elijah pray? He prayed earnestly.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what the Bible said. It said that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain by the space of 3.5 years. That's what it said. But you remember when Jesus went over there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says, verse 44 of that 22nd chapter, it says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly.
Amen.
Now, Elijah prayed earnestly, but Jesus prayed more earnestly. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible doesn't tell me what it tells me in that rest of that verse there. It says that he prayed earnestly, and he prayed and was in such agony. The Bible said that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Now, brother, I've had some good prayer sessions, and you've had some good prayer sessions, but I ain't never had to wipe no blood off my brow. I mean, brother, we use that saying, man, I sweated blood. Well, the Lord did that. He prayed so earnestly. I've read about that. I've looked at doctors' accounts of that, and they say that there's such an intense earnestness of a man that he might be in such a condition so earnestly that actually his blood begins to seep through his pores. And that's what happened to Jesus. I think the Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly.
Amen.
Jesus was an earnest prayer.
Amen.
And then James said he prayed that it wouldn't rain for a space of 3.5 years, and then it said he prayed again, and it rained.
Right.
Elijah, he prayed routinely. He didn't pray today, and then maybe 3 weeks down the road he'd have another little prayer session, but he prayed every day. And Mark gives us this account. Mark says that he get up a great while before daybreak. Verse 35 in chapter 1 said he'd go out and he'd pray before he started his day. He'd done that every day. And then John 18 tells us this, that when they come to arrest the Lord, and they needed to know where to find him at, and Judas, of course, he's going to betray him, and Judas says, I know where he'll be at. I know just where to find him right now. What time is he? I know just where he is. He went down there and said there was a garden there that Jesus often resorted to pray.
Amen.
He had set times of prayer in his life. I think the people seen this, and they seen that he was a man of prayer like Elijah. They seen that he was a man that preached like John the Baptist did. And I think he prayed confidently. Now what I mean by that, I don't mean just isolated or alone, but I mean with confidence. He prayed. Elijah's like that. You say, how you know? Because Elijah told him. He said, man, it ain't going to be no rain here for 3 years. Ain't going to be no rain here. So I done prayed about it. Ain't going to be no rain here. And then he got after that space of time, he told his servants, that you go tell Ahab to get his chariots, because it's fixing to come a thunderstorm. It's fixing to be a frog strangler, a gully washer. He said, you better tell him to get ready. It's going to rain because I prayed about it. He was sure that God was going to answer his prayer.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, Elijah couldn't say what Jesus said. You say what Jesus said. He said in John 11 there at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus said, he's praying, and he said, Father, I know that thou always hearest me.
Amen.
Elijah, I don't think he could say that. And if he could say that, you say, well, I can say that. I believe God always hears me. Well, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 said the Lord's not deaf that he can't hear, and his hand's not short that he can't save, but he said your sins have come between you and your God, and they, your iniquities have hid his face from you. Psalms 62, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. But I want you to know that Jesus could say, Father, I know that thou always hearest me. Now, wait a minute. Let's just say that you could say that. All right, you couldn't say this. Every prayer that Jesus prayed, he prayed in the perfect will of God. Because there in that garden, he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
Sometimes I pray and I'm not real sure it's the Lord's will. What about you?
Amen.
I want it to be, and I hope it is, but sometimes I'm just not really sure. And I say, Lord, I'm not praying this a list to consume it upon my own lust. Now, I don't want to, Lord, because I know you won't hear that.
Bless him, Lord.
But every time Jesus prayed, he prayed in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so he had confidence. He knew that God was going to hear him. Amen.
Amen.
He knew that every prayer, Jesus never prayed a prayer that he didn't get the right answer.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because he always prayed the will of God. Amen. So he's like John the Baptist in his preaching. He's like Elijah, I think, in his praying. But then the Bible said, some say, others say, they are like Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, they're saying. So he's like Jeremiah. You say, how's he like Jeremiah? Well, I looked, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, he's not like Jeremiah was as a child. Because when God called Jeremiah in verse 6, Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I'm a child. I can't speak. I can't speak. Jesus wasn't like that. You know what he's doing as a child? He's down at the temple. They're asking him questions, and he's giving them answers.
Amen.
And he's asking them questions they can't answer.
Amen.
The Bible said they were all astonished at the wisdom that he had. So he wasn't like Jeremiah, Brother Eddie. He's a child.
Amen.
He certainly wouldn't like Jeremiah. You know, they took Jeremiah and they throwed him in a pit. Really, the prison. They put him in prison. And he got over there in prison and they put him down there in that pit. And an old slave man, so to speak, Abimelech, an Ethiopian, he heard they had the preacher down there in prison. And he went down there and got a few with him, went to the king. He went down there and got some with him. And he took a bunch of old rags, the Bible said, a bunch of old rags, and he tied them together. He lowered them down in there. And when he got them lowered down in there, he said, hey, Jeremiah. He said, yeah. He said, put them old rags in under your arms. He said, if he just throw an old rope down there, and they pulled him up with a rope, and the rope burns. Boy, nothing hurts no worse than a rope burn. And it'll burn him trying to pull him up. But he said, put them rags and on your arms. And then they pulled him up. He was worried about Jeremiah. He wanted to get him out of the prison. He wanted to comfort Jeremiah.
Amen.
But Jesus wouldn't like Jeremiah in comfort. Because when he got down there in prison, they all forsook him.
Amen.
And when they beat his back and shredded his back and plucked his beard and spit in his face, there was nobody there to comfort him.
Bless him, Lord.
There was nobody there to say, Lord, here, let me put a little something on that. Let me comfort that, Lord. You see, he trod the winepress all alone. He had no one there to comfort him like Jeremiah did, so he wasn't like him in his comfort. And then Jeremiah came to a place in his life that he made this confession. You say, what did he say? He said in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, he had had enough of it. And he said, Lord, he said, you've deceived me. And he said, Lord, I'm not going to mention your name anymore. I'm not going to speak in your name anymore. I'm done, Lord. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, it's kind of like Elijah. Someone asked me the other day, he said, Brother Rick, you ever want to quit preaching? I said, no, sir, I ain't never wanted to quit preaching. I thought about giving up pastoring a few times, but I've never wanted to quit preaching.
Bless him, Lord.
But Jeremiah got down there, and Jeremiah...
Yeah.
He made a confession. He said, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Lord, you've deceived me. And he said, I'm never going to mention your name anymore. Of course, he didn't do it. Because the Bible said God's word was in him. And it was like a fire burning in him. And he had to speak it. Amen.
Yeah, man.
But Jesus, he never did do that. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:2 and verse 12, Jesus said, I'm going to proclaim your name in the congregation. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'm not going to do like that. I mean, Jesus wouldn't like Jeremiah in that. So if he wasn't like Jeremiah as a child or in his comfort or in his confession, how was it they said, or some say, you're like Jeremiah? How was it? Well, I believe he was like John in his preaching. I believe he would have been like Elijah in his praying.
Bless him, Lord.
But I believe he's like Jeremiah in his passion. You say, what do you mean? Jeremiah, you know what Jeremiah is known as?
The weeping prophet.
The weeping prophet. Jeremiah, he said in Jeremiah 9:1, he said, that my head were a fountain. He said that my head were waters and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of my people. And you know what I think Jesus did? I think Jesus had passion. I think Jesus sometimes wept when he prayed. I think he sometimes wept when he preached. I think he had passion like Jeremiah. And they'd see the Lord weeping and they said, well, he's like Jeremiah. He cares for the people. He's got compassion for the people. He really does care about what he's saying and who he's preaching to.
Man.
And so they said he's like Jeremiah. You say, Lord, Lord, weep. Oh, yes.
Yeah, Lord.
We're told three times in the Bible that the Lord wept. In Luke 19, verse 4, the Bible said he went out over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. And he wept there and regretted the fact that they had missed their day of their visitation. And he wept over his city. He loved his city. He cared about his city. He cared about the people, no doubt, in that city.
Amen.
The Bible said he went out over the top of that city and he looked out over it. And if you'd have caught him there, there'd been tears dripping off his face and he'd been weeping. He'd be saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times? He says, but now, he said, you've missed your day of visitation. You ever wept over your city?
Yes.
You know, we all complain about all the stuff coming in, the gambling, the alcohol, all the stuff's moved into our city. We all complain about it. We all got, you know, plenty of advice to give to anybody that might listen about it. Does it really ever bother us enough that we got somewhere in a prayer and said, oh God, I can't believe it's come. I can't believe that it's come to this in our town. I didn't think it'd ever be like this in this little town where we live. I didn't think it, we'd see the things we're seeing here. You see, maybe we don't really care enough as what we really say we do. Amen. We can all complain about it and all this stuff, but the Bible said Jesus wept over the city.
Amen.
He wept over it. Closest thing I ever come to that, years ago they have these shift parties where I worked with Donna's, and of course it'd just be a more or less a bunch of drinking and stuff going on. And a long story short, one day I went to one. They'd have it before you come down there to lunch and stuff. And I went to one, got down there, and there's a lot of them drinking, not everybody, but a lot of people drinking stuff down there and cussing, you know how it goes. And I walked back up to the truck because I couldn't take it no longer. And I sat in the truck waiting for my rider, the one I rode with, waiting for them to come back up there. And I just looked out over all that bunch of people down there. And just for a brief second, just for a second, my heart broke for those people. And I wish that they knew the Lord. I wish they'd saved. I wish they'd known there's a better life.
Amen.
Amen. Just for a brief second, I felt just a small inkling of what I believe the Lord felt when he looked out over Jerusalem and he knew what was going to come. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we do that with our family, you know. We look out on the world and see what's coming. And
yeah.
I tell you, brother, it brings you to tears sometimes and you look where this world's headed.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And you realize you're probably not going to be here, you know, much longer. Most of us ain't going to be here much longer. We know these young ones, they still got it to go through with and everything. And we look out there and see how the world's coming, what's it going to be like in another 10 years. And I tell you, that ought to be enough to make us weep. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
He wept over that great city of Jerusalem. And then John tells us in John 11, when Mary and Martha's brother died, Lazarus, they called him down there and he went down there. He got there late and Lazarus had already died, or they thought he was late. Lazarus already died and they went down there and they went down to the grave. And Mary and Martha, they're crying. The Bible says they're weeping. They get down there to the grave, and the Bible says that Jesus wept.
Amen.
And then the next verse says, and they beheld how he loved him. You know what makes you weep? When you love something.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's what really gets to your heart when it's somebody you love. When it gets a name on it and a face on it. That's when it really starts touching your heart. Amen.
Amen.
And I think one of the missing things in a lot of our hearts and a lot of the church services tonight is we just don't have the heart like we used to have in it. Amen.
Amen.
There's not enough weeping.
That's right.
And we've almost got to a place where that, you know, people think it's not spiritual to weep. And you'll listen to 100 preachers, and you might hear one weep. Amen. We just become hard-hearted, and and things don't bother us. And we don't really like the way we are, but that's the way we are, amen. This world has just made us worthy. And somehow or another, we still believe right, we still do right, but somehow or another, we don't really feel just right about people that are lost, and about our children and our grandchildren, and all of those things. And used to the old grandmas, and
amen.
Boy, they'd weep, cry, get on the altar, pray. And some of you here tonight, because some of them did that.
Amen, Brother Rick.
If it wasn't your grandma, it might have been a neighbor that took interest in you and thought about you and everything. They prayed for you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And you just don't know, we're never going to get to heaven. The Lord had it wrote in the book. We're going to be surprised.
That's right.
Some people that we didn't know prayed for us. And God heard their prayer. We got saved because of it. Amen. But you know why they done that? Because they cared. They cared. Jesus went down there and the Bible said he wept. And they said, look how he loves him. Look how he loves him. You know, I preach a lot of funerals. Every preacher does, I guess. And you know, you can get to a place where the funerals don't really, you know, you just go do them. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And I pray not to be like that. And you know how the Lord helps me not to be like that sometimes? It's when I get a funeral and I go up there and I stand at the casket and some mother and dad standing around there and the kids laying in the coffin. And I look there and I say, what if that's my boy?
Bless you, Lord. Yeah.
Well, if it's one of my boys. Or somebody's had a wife for, you know, 60 years, and you go there and they're standing there and they're weeping, and I look there and I say, what if that's my wife?
Bless you, Lord.
What if that's my wife? You know what? The tears. They start to come then, and you say, why? I made it personal.
Right.
I made it on to something that I really love. Amen,
amen, Brother Rick.
The little kids, you know, in the coffin, and you think, man, what if that was my grandkid? And I went and the little grandkids up around the coffin crying over their grandma that's died. And the man, I stand there and I go back and I remember when my grandma died.
Bless him, Lord.
I remember going by the coffin. And I just broke down over the coffin. I couldn't go on by. I just broke down and fell over on it. And that's what you do, you see.
Right.
See, the devil's give us this kind of attitude that, well, it ain't mine, so.
Right.
Not my kids, not my husband's, not my wife. Well, next time you go to the funeral, you try. You try. You stand there long enough to visualize your husband's face in there, or your daughter's face, or your grandma or grandpa's face in there, and you see if it don't touch your heart. I believe it will.
Amen, brother.
If you've got any love for your family. Amen.
Amen.
He wept. The Bible said Jesus wept.
Yeah,
somebody says it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Yes, it is, but it sure got a long reaching effect. Don't
it? Amen.
Jesus wept. You say, what does that mean? That means if he cared about Mary Martha's brother died, he cares when our family members
die. Right.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, if he cared when Lazarus was sick, he cares when we're sick. Yep.
Bless you, Brother Rick. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
He cares.
Yeah, he does.
Don't you love that old song we hadn't sung in a while? Does Jesus care?
Yeah.
That's a good old song. Isn't it? First time I heard that song, Brother McCarroll had a bunch of little old boys that looked like stair steps. And they come up to Somerset to hear me preach. I was over at Burnside preaching, and they come in. I hadn't met them a month so before that. They come in. They drove all the way to Babylon, Kentucky to come hear me preach. I was driving back and forth, and I was really wanting to get home. But as soon as I got done, Brother McCarroll and the boys come back there at the door. And they said, preacher said, we want to take you to Cracker Barrel and buy your lunch tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
And I thought, man, I'd really like to go on home.
Bless him, Lord.
I thought if they cared enough to drive all the way from Danville over here to listen to me preach, I'm just going to have to go eat with them.
Bless you, preacher.
And I went down there. We got into Cracker Barrel. We got us a table and sat down there. And they said, Daddy, can we do it? He said, I don't know, boys. He said, Daddy, please. I said, what do they want to do? He said, they want to go up on the fireplace and sing. And the little boys went up there and lined up on that place there in front of the fireplace, the hearth there, they lined up on that, the little white shirts, ties, just looked like little preachers standing up there. There's five or six of them. They start singing, "Does Jesus care when my heart is sad?" Well, they got to singing that, and I'm telling you, in about halfway through the first verse, you could have dropped a pin in there and heard it. That whole place at Cracker Barrel was full. And I looked around and people was wiping off their tears. And they was hearing them sing, "Does Jesus care?" And then they got to that place. "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." He cares. He's like Jeremiah. He's a weeping preacher. Amen. Jeremiah's a weeping prophet. And then, you know, he wept over that great city, Jerusalem. He wept beside the grave of Lazarus. And then he wept unto God. We wouldn't know it if it wasn't for Hebrews. And Hebrews adds something to the Garden of Gethsemane account that we don't find in any of the Gospels. In Hebrews 5 and verse 7, it says about Jesus, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save.
Amen.
He wept to God.
That's right.
You're weak to God.
Oh yeah, brother.
Yes.
Something about that weeping to God type praying. God, do something. Said he wept unto God who was able to save. God raised him from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, he wept before God. And sometimes that's where we have to get. We have to get broken. We have to get to walking bad enough. We have to get to a place where that we're weeping, sobbing before God. You ever got to a place where you prayed and nothing's coming out? You can't pray no more. All you do is just sob, just groaning. Just whacking sobs and groaning like Jesus did there at the grave. No words coming out. Just sobbing. But somebody said, tears are a language that God understands. God understands. What was Jesus like? Preached like John. Prayed like Elijah. But he had passion like Jeremiah. Cared. Lord, I thank you this evening. I know, Lord, it's going to take us a long time to really, Lord, to know all of what you're like. Maybe it'll instantly come to us, and that's why we love you so much when we first see you. And we see all that you're like. I just touched on three little things there, Lord, tonight. And there's so much about you, Lord, tonight, that none of us could ever understand all about the Lord. But I believe these three things are true tonight. And maybe we remember them tonight when we think about what you's like. You are interested in what folks say about you because you asked the disciples, "What are they saying about me out there?" And you're interested in what we're saying about you down here. And I pray that, Lord, that what we're saying about you down here is true and right and good. And make others want you. Lord, I pray. Lord, help those that are here tonight. God knows every heart. Lord cares. It's like the preacher here just now. Lord cares. He understands. He's touched by the feelings of all of our infirmities tonight. It's not because human beings are mean. It's not because they're calloused or they don't care. We just don't have the heart like God has to fully, completely understand and grasp what each other goes through. But you do, Lord, and we pray you'd help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have that heart that cares. Help us to be that kind of Christian, Lord, that sometimes is moved to weep it because we're have passion for what, Lord, for each other, for what people have to go through, for the lost and where they're headed. Help us in that, Lord, I pray. Lord, the Bible says that we're going to see you. And Paul wrote, we have perfect knowledge, so I guess we'll know all how what you're like. just a few seconds in heaven. And I know, Lord, that we're going to spend eternity talking about what you like, what you've been, what you are. And truly you are, Lord, wonderful. Truly you will be altogether lovely. And truly, Lord, you are like the Father. Help us, Lord, to try to be more like you today, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would, please, tonight. We'll make some sort of song here. If you need to come pray, the Lord knows he cares.
605.
Here for prayer, we're going to ask Brother David Spillman if he would pray.